You're listening to the Church on the Move Roswell podcast. We hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Thanks for listening. Let's check it out.
And so go with me to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. It says this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." Next verse, verse 9. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is connecting us to two things here. He's saying, listen, I think at a higher level than you, and then I want to reach down and pick you up and teach you to think at a higher level, because when you think at a higher level, you act at a higher level. Your ways will be at a high, your way of life will be at a higher level. So God says, listen, I want to establish that my thoughts are higher than yours, my ways are higher than yours. But it's not like he's talking down to us. He's reaching down to us. Like, let me pick you up. Let me help you up. Let me help you think higher, and then you'll act at a higher level, and your way of life will be at a higher level. You know, God doesn't want us to live where we follow him occasionally. It's not an occasional thing that, you know, or we take it real casually, like, well, God says to do this, but I'm going to do this. No, God wants us to hear his word and understand that the thought he's sharing about marriage, the thought he's sharing about kids, the thought he's sharing about how you speak and how you think and your attitudes, how you go to work, how you treat each other, the thoughts he's sharing about those things, he's not just sharing them as a suggestion. He's saying, listen, the way I think is higher, and if you'll begin to think the way I think and renew your minds with the word of God, then the way you act and your ways will be higher than the world's ways. And it will become obvious. I said it will become apparent that his ways are higher than our ways. And then that's the Old Testament, Isaiah prophesying that. But in the New Testament, Jesus says this. In John 14, verse 6 through 11, he says this. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Next verse. "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Next verse. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father. It is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Wow. Philip is Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, he's talking about the Father. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And Philip's like, "Man, we want to see the Father." And Jesus is like, "You still don't get it, Philip. I am fully God. Even though I'm standing here as the Son, I'm still fully God. And the Father and I are one, not two. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one God, not three gods. God just expresses himself three different ways. But they're one." Jesus never does anything he doesn't hear or see the Father doing. And the Holy Spirit never does anything that he doesn't hear or see Jesus saying. Why did I say saying? Because Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the Word of God on earth. And he's saying, "I am the way." He's not saying, I'm just another way. When he said the word "I am," that's the name of God. He's saying, "I am God, and I'm not just some other voice on the earth. This is God's voice on the earth speaking." If it was just another man, then it would just be another thing that people could follow or not follow. But he's saying, "Listen, I'm not just another man. I'm speaking as God himself on the earth." And that's why when I say I am the way, you should listen. We shouldn't listen when he says I am the way. And then he says, I am the only way to the Father. No one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus said, he describes himself as a gate and a door. He said, I am the gate and the door, and I've opened up a way to the Father, to heaven, to having a relationship with God on earth as a child of God, not just some entity, not just some person, but God said, I want to, through Jesus, I'm going to adopt you and make you a son or daughter of the Most High God while you're living here, so that when you die, because you're recognized as a son or God, son or daughter of the Most High God because of Jesus, you enter into heaven forever. He wants to give meaning to this life through his way of following him. He wants to give meaning to this life, and he wants us to follow him all the way to eternal life. And he's not speaking as a mere man. He's speaking as the I am. He's speaking as God. He's not letting you see his humanity here. He let us see his humanity on the cross. But he's like, I am God, and I am the way, the door. And I love it that he's opened the door and the gate wide open and saying, come on, everybody come. And Peter, God said, I'm patient. And people are like, come on, Jesus, come back. And he said, listen, I haven't come back yet because I'm patient. I desire that all men, all of humanity come to know me. Everyone come to know. He wants everyone to go to heaven and no one to go to hell. But unfortunately, people treat Jesus like he's just another human being speaking, a good philosopher, a prophet, or they treat him like he's non-existent. And because people want to create their own God, they want to create their own God, and they want to shape God in their image instead of God shaping us in his image. And because they do that, they worship all kinds of gods. Then they say to Christians, man, how dare you say there's only one way to heaven? How dare you say Jesus, surrendering your life to Jesus, is the only way? Because they want to justify how they live. So what human beings have done is they've looked around, because God said he made it obvious that there is a God. They've looked at the universe and said, there is a God. People in the darkest jungles, people in the Arctic Circle, they've looked around and said, there is a God. But because I want to live a certain way, I'm not going to seek the one true God. I'm going to create a God in my image so I can live my way instead of his way. And because people think that all over the planet, they're lost, and they're going to miss heaven because they want to create God in their image instead of God changing them into his image. That's how it. If he's God, he should be ministering to us. We shouldn't be telling him how to be God. He should be telling us how to serve him and how to be his kids. My kids don't tell me how to be the father in my home. Amen? I tell them how they're going to be the child. That's how that flows. If it flows that way in the natural, shouldn't it flow that way in the supernatural? It's amazing to me how people want others to respect what they say and respect who they are, and their children to respect them, but they don't respect their creator. And start saying, listen, if my thinking's wrong, it's because I'm not thinking like you, God, because your thoughts are higher. And I know you want to lift me up, so what I need to do is get into my Bible and figure out how you think, because once I figure out how you think and I start thinking the way you do, I start acting the way you do. And that becomes my way of life. It's not something I just think about every once in a while, like I'm going to act like a Christian today, or I'll act like a Christian around Pastor Troy, or I'll act like a Christian around so-and-so that expects me to act like a Christian. No, it becomes your way of life. It becomes how you think about marriage, how you think about sexuality, how you think about finances, how you think about going to work, coming home from work, how you think about going to the store and coming back, how you think about this and how you think about that. It becomes, you become saturated with the Word of God, and because you become saturated with the Word of God, you become saturated with the way of God and start acting His way. Instead of telling Him what to do, you're like, God, what do you want me to do? Because your thoughts are higher, better, higher than, He said, from the heavens to the earth. They're infinitely higher. They're infinitely, His ways are infinitely better. Not just better for everybody else, but better for me as an individual too. They're always, things are always going to turn out better. When Jesus said, I am the way, He's saying, I am the way out of things you want to get out of, and I am the way in to the things you want to get into. So if you've got issues in your life that you want to get out of, you have bad habits or addictions or this problem with this thing or that thing, He's the way out of that. And if you want to get to someplace that's better, He's the way into better. Because He is the I am the way. He's not just any way. He is the way. The way to what? To truth and life. And He's not just, He doesn't have, His truth. He is the essence. He is the source of truth. He doesn't just have life to give. He is the source of all life. Anything alive comes from the source of, He's the source of it. That's who He is, and that's why He has the right to say, I am the way. The way. Here's what God says about Him in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. This is what God says about Jesus. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things. Everybody say all things. Through whom also He made the worlds. He's saying, listen, everything was made by Him and for Him. And what He speaks, when He speaks, He speaks on every occasion, to every topic, to every situation. He speaks to every topic, to every situation, on every single occasion. You want to know how to feast? Go to the Word. Jesus will tell you how to feast. You want to know how to pray? Jesus will teach you how to pray. You want to know how to get answers from heaven? Jesus will teach you how to get answers from heaven. Why? Because He is the way. He's the way to heaven. He's the way to answered prayer. He's the way to blessings and honor. He's the way to a good marriage. He's a way to a great marriage. He is the way to any good thing in this life. He is the way to it. And He is speaking over it. He is speaking over it. It's so powerful, man, when we actually take time to listen to what Jesus is saying, things begin to change. I love John chapter 1. We're not going to read all 14 verses I was normally going to read, but in John chapter 1, He says this about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, is God. Next verse. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. It goes on to say that Jesus Christ is the Word of God made flesh. So that's why when He says, I am the way, He is the Word of God made flesh. He is God's Word speaking to us. That's why He uses the I am, the name for Almighty God, because He is speaking. He is speaking not just through, it's not, God's just not speaking through Him. God is speaking through Him because He is God, not just the Son. So his word is coming forth through him. And that's why he can say, he can narrow it down and say, I am the only way to the Father. The only way to God. The only way to heaven. You know, people criticize Christianity, say, man, it's so narrow. Man, you're saying there's got to be 1,000 ways. What about this? What about the people born in Africa in the jungle or to a Muslim world or to this, to that? God said he makes it obvious to everyone he is God. It's apparent by the stars. It's apparent by the plant life. It's apparent by the animal kingdom. It's apparent by the human kingdom that God is God and that there is a creator. There is an intelligent design to it, and he's making it apparent. He's just looking for honest hearts that will actually seek the truth and not try to make their own gods to accommodate their lifestyle. But to welcome the one true God. If I recognize there's a creator to the universe, why would I want to tell the creator to the universe how to think and act? But that's what people do. They're like, oh, I see there's a God, there's a creator, but I'm going to tell the creator how to act. Listen, if I get in the presence of the creator, I'm going to bow my knee and bow my heart, and I'm going to surrender and say, you tell me why I was created. I'm not going to tell you why I was created. You tell me why I was created. You're the creator of the universe. But people want to get in the creator's presence. They want to go to the creator of the universe and say, not only do I want to tell you why you created me, I'm going to tell you how. I'm going to tell you how I'm going to live, how I'm going to think, how I'm going to act, what is right and what is wrong. Oh, my goodness. It always amazes me when people get in the presence of people that are really good at a certain topic and then want to tell them how to do it. Like somebody that has, you know, great knowledge in a certain area, you have amateur knowledge in that area, but you want to tell them how to do it. You show up and instead of listening to them, you want them to listen to you. Right now, we have a whole world of non-Christians trying to tell us how to be Christians. Rob Reiner wrote a movie about Christians who he's as far from God and Jesus Christ as you can possibly be right now. We need to pray for his soul. But he's trying to tell us what Christianity should be and that what should Christianity shouldn't be. The world is trying to tell us that if you act like a Christian like this, then you're a Christian nationalist. They want to tell us what that is. If you act like this, then you're a Christian. But they're not even Christians. Duh. Why would we listen to non-Christians tell us how to be Christians and what the definition of Christianity even is? They don't know that Jesus is the, they won't even acknowledge he is the I am the way. But yet they want to tell us how to be Christians and want to tell God how to be God. Oh my goodness, the level of arrogance and the lack of humility in that blows my mind. I'm not going to tell Satanists how to be a Satanist. I don't know anything about being a Satanist. But the Satanist wants to tell the Christian how to be a Christian because they think they know something about it. Listen, until you've accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life and you've surrendered your life to him and said, listen, I recognize you are the I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And the only way to God, to knowing God, is through you. I surrender my life to that right there. Until you do that, there's no way you can tell anybody how to be a Christian. Let alone, you know, tell a plumber how to plumb. Man, when I have people come over and fix things at my house, I ask them 1,000 questions because I don't know any of the answers. But I want to learn from them, from their expertise. You know, I've talked to multiple doctors, and I ask them 1,000 because they know medical stuff. I don't know a lot of medical stuff, but they know medical stuff. So I ask them questions when I'm in their presence about medical stuff. Amen. Man, it doesn't matter who I get around. If they're an expert at it, if that's what they do for a living, I trust that they hopefully they know what they're doing because I'm trusting they do. Someone say amen. Amen. But, man, people have an arrogance about them that they want to go and tell people that they know little or nothing about how to do things. And you know what's crazy it is? That people think they can pastor better than a pastor. If I was the pastor, I'd be doing this, Pastor Troy. Well, you're not the pastor. So why, again, I think it's the epitome of arrogance to think that you're not a pastor. You've never been a pastor. But you, or you've been a pastor and you failed, but you can come tell me, a pastor, or other pastors how to be a pastor. I think that's amazing. That's mind-boggling to me. It's no difference than you going telling a surgeon how to do surgery and you've never done surgery. I know this. If I show up to do surgery for you, you better get out. Get wheel me out. I don't care if you take me out in the bed. Get me out of here. I know Pastor Troy don't know how to do surgery. I've offered. People say, well, I'm getting this surgery. I said, well, come over to my garage. I'll try. I'll do my best. I've got some anesthesia. I've got an anesthesiologist. It's called a hammer. I'll just hit you in the head, knock you out. Try to fix something in there. Put you, you know, staple you back together, you know. You don't want me doing that. But people want to tell God his way. They want to tell God his truth, and they want to tell God what life is really about. But I'm here to tell you today that you're not going to tell him those things. Because Jesus made it very clear. He understands who he is and what is really happening. He is the I am. The way. I am the truth and I am the life. Wow. You know, has anybody ever seen the movie Braveheart? Man, if you've seen the movie Braveheart, again, this is a perfect analogy of this. So it's Mel Gibson portraying a guy named William Wallace who was leading the Scots against the English, and he came to a place where they were fighting, the Scots and the English, and they weren't really going to fight. It was really just an exchange of properties and money for the rich and the royalty there, and the other people just showed up to be there, but he shows up. William Wallace, you know, the guy playing William Wallace, Mel Gibson, shows up, and he says, I am William Wallace, and somebody yells, William Wallace is 7 feet tall. Like, he doesn't know whether he's William Wallace or not. But this guy who's never seen him says, no, 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 you can't be William Wallace. William Wallace is 7 feet tall. And he said, yeah, and if he was here, he'd have fireballs coming out of his eyes and thunderbolts and lightning and coming out of him, and he would just consume all the English. And they laugh because they, and he said, no, I really am William Wallace. And that's what's happening with Jesus. Jesus is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the Christ. I am the anointed one. I am the Messiah. I am the Savior of the world. I died for your sins. I rose from the dead. I defeated sin and the grave for you to save your life because I love you, because I have compassion on you, because I care about the human race, and I want everyone to come to heaven with me. But people are shouting back, no, 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 no. The Savior's 7 feet tall. No, 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 no. The Savior's white. The Savior's black. The Savior's brown. No, 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 no. The Savior is, you know, he's this or that or another. No, his name is Muhammad. No, his name is Joseph Smith. No, he's the Mormon God. No, I'm telling you, I'm here to tell you that all that is a bunch of nonsense. Jesus Christ is standing in heaven. He's speaking from heaven and saying, I am Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father is through me. I am the one who died for you. I am the one who rose from the dead. It is me, and you're not going to define me. It's kind of like what happened in the movie. William Wallace kind of laughed like, okay, you're going to tell me who I am and how tall I am. No, I am William Wallace, and I'm this size. You know, I really am that guy. It's ludicrous. The Scots would be, their bones would be sitting in that field waiting for William Wallace to show up and fight until they believed he was William Wallace. And a lot of people's bones are laying in graveyards, and a lot of people's spirits are in hell today because they're shouting back at Jesus, no, you're not the one I'm looking for. Instead of listening to him, when he's saying, listen, I love you, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And the only way to go to heaven is through me. I am an open door. I am the gate. Oh, it's me. It's Jesus. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. But the world wants to categorize him. The world wants to define him. The world wants to tell him who he is. Just like Satan was saying to him in the temptation, if you are the Son of God, constantly trying to question, is he the Son? The people that question who Jesus is and his identity are quoting Lucifer, speaking about his identity and questioning his identity. You will find no greater truth than the truth about who Jesus is. No greater life than the life that Jesus, that emanates from him. Gosh, he just doesn't give life. He is life. He's not just a way. He's the way. If you want to live a life of purpose, this is the way. If you want out of the things that are sinful, that are bad, that are harmful to your life, and you want into the way of things that promote life around you, in this life, and open the entrance, the gate to heaven in the next, surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord. Surrender your whole life. Surrender your life to him, and he's got the door open to you like, come on in. I welcome you to purpose. I welcome you to meaning in life. I welcome you to teach you how to overcome the obstacles and wildernesses and mountains and giants in your life. Come on. He's like, come on in. I welcome you. I love you. Come on in. Let me show you the way to life in this life and life in the next life. He's like, follow me. Follow me. But people are shouting back, you can't be him. And that's what the Jews shouted back. That's what Israel is still shouting back. He's not him. That's not him. That's what our world is shouting back. That's not him. It's somebody else. The Bible says in the last days, they'll say, Jesus over here, and Jesus over there, and Jesus over here, here and there, and another place. The Bible says, don't listen to any of them. You'll know when Jesus is coming back. Matter of fact, the whole world will know it. He will make it obvious when he comes back. He's making obvious now that he's here. He's been here. He's always been here. I love this verse in Hebrews 12:25. It says this. There it is. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they do not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. When he was on earth and spoke, those people didn't make it. How much more that now Jesus Christ is in heaven speaking? He's in heaven speaking. He said, they won't make it either. You know, he says in the word, narrow is the way. The way is narrow to heaven. And hard is the path. Well, the reason it's narrow is because there's only one way to get there. It's not narrow in the sense that he's shrunk it downwards so small we can't figure it out. No, he said it's narrow in the way that there's not a million ways and a billion ways to God. There's not a million billion ways to heaven. And there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ, because he is I am the way. There's only one way. And the reason the path is hard is because the way Jesus operates is die to yourself. Die to self. That's why he says it's a hard path. Because most people don't want to die to self. They want to live for self. You know, things have happened, you know, in my family, and different things happen. And over the years, man, I've really tried to react differently, and I'm still working on it. But, man, I come to my senses that when things happen, I want to think about the other person before I think about myself. Most of the time, when things happen in the world, things happen in your family, our first thought is, how does that impact me? How does that affect me? I'm hurt. I'm mad. Instead of, how does it affect those around us? Jesus thinks, his way of thinking is, how is this affecting those around me first? Isn't that crazy? That the God of the universe would think about us first. That's called agape love. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to give my life for you. Instead of asking you to give your life for me, I'm going to give my life for you to save you. God wants to flip the script on how we live and start thinking about not how everything impacts us, but how does it impact the others around us? What impact does it have? I remember one time one of my sons got in trouble at school, and I wanted to just go down there and just tear him up. And he was little bitty. He was like 5 or 6, but he just did something really, really, really foolish. And I wanted to go do that. And on the way down there, God checked me and said, no, think about him, not about you. Think about him, not about you. I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, I want you to think about how this is impacting him, and what you're about to say is going to impact him. Not about how embarrassed you are or how it's impacted you or how it made you look, but how does it make him look? And what can you do to help him? And I said, yes, Lord. So I walked in and I said, what do you want me the first thing to say to him? And the first thing I wanted to say to him, stand up, I'm going to kick you right in the butt, boy. That was the dumbest thing. But that's not what God told me to do. He told me, go in there, and the first thing you do is you look him in the eye and say, I love you. Look him in the eye and say, I love you. Then you'll deal with the rest of this. But that's how we're going to start it. You thinking about him instead of you thinking about you. That's the way of Jesus. He says this. I'm going to give you just 5 things of his way. Number one, that when you're a leader, you're a servant. Otherwise, you're thinking about how everything impacts others, and you're trusting that God will think about how it's impacting you. Come on now. In marriage, in life, how is it impacting others? He said, if you'll put my kingdom first, my ways first, if you'll follow my way, he said, and you'll think about others first, how it's impacting them instead of just how it's impacting you. He said, I'll take care of you. He said, you can take care of you or I'll take care of you. You decide. You going to take care of you or you going to let God take care of you? If you'll start thinking about others instead of before yourself, I'll take care of you. I'll put you first if you'll put others first. If you'll follow my way, if you'll do it my way. So leadership is a servant's role. Right now, all we have is power brokers. It's all about them. God says leadership is you come as a leader to serve. You're leading people to serve, to make other people's lives better. Number two, man, I love what he says about generosity. You know, most people, listen to this quote, most people think about that their self-worth is based upon their net worth. Let me say that again. In our culture, most people's self-worth is based on their net worth, and that's not at all how Jesus defines our value. But that's how we define it a lot of times. But let me tell you how he defines value and how he defines generosity. The woman with the 2 pennies put in all that she had, and he said, she gave more than all of you, and they were given sacks. He said, listen, true generosity is sacrificial. In that everyone, no matter how poor or how rich, can be generous based on their sacrificial giving. That's how he defines generosity. Number three, he says this, my way is a way of repentance and acceptance. In that order. The world wants to say, accept, 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 accept. God says, repent, 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 and I'll accept. So if you come to me with all your problems, but you're willing to change repentance, you're willing to change your ways to my ways, I'll accept you and I'll forgive you. That leads to number four, and that's forgiveness. Man, I love it what he said to the woman that caught in adultery. He said, where are all your accusers? She said, they're not here, Lord. There's no one here. He said, well, then neither do I accuse you. He had a right. He has a right to judge. He's God and holy. But he said, neither do I accuse you. I think, golly, what a powerful statement to the rest of us. But then he says this to her, go and sin no more. So it's not just come as you are, come as an adulterer, come as a homosexual, come as this, come as that, come as an addict, come as a mean person, whatever the case may be. He said, you don't just come that way. You come that way, but you don't stay that way. You're willing to repent. You're willing to change. You'll leave forgiven. The last thing I want to talk about is grace. Jesus showed unbelievable amounts of grace, unmerited favor. He showed favor to people, all of us, who don't deserve his favor. And he wants us to show favor to people who don't deserve it. With no strings attached to it, show some grace. Give them some grace. I'm good at those five things. I'm not great at it by any means. But I want to be. Because that is the way. That's the way Jesus is leading us. Listen, every eye closed, here and online, if you're watching, you don't have to close your eyes if you don't want to, unless there's distractions there, because that's the only reason we close our eyes here. If you want to accept Jesus, Jesus said this. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, I'll save you. He'll rescue you. From what? From yourself. From sin and self. Where all sin comes from, selfishness. He'll rescue you from yourself. Teach you how to really live a life here on earth. It won't be perfect, but it'll be really good. And he'll open up the door to heaven to you and close the door to hell. He said in his word, many will try to get in to the door their own way. And he said, they will not be allowed to enter. You can't get into heaven your own way. There's only one way, and that's Jesus. And any honest person living anywhere at any time in the whole time of man that looks and sees that there's got to be a God, he makes it obvious, that is honest and honestly says, God, you tell me who you are. God will always find a way to show them. Do you know he's appearing all over the Muslim world. Personally, Jesus is appearing. He's saying, you've been looking for me. Here I am. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He's sharing that. And there's a revival taking place in places like Iran. Huge underground church. He said, if you won't listen to my voice on every topic, we read that in Hebrews 11:25. In 28, it says, then I'll shake you. I'll shake you to shake all the stuff out of you that shouldn't be there. I'll shake your life till you realize you need to humble yourself before me. I'll shake your life until you realize I'm trying to get stuff out of you. I am the way out of that. In the way into the things you need to be in. I hope you just listen today and don't have to be shaken anymore. And wake up to the changes and the things that God wants to do in your life. And if you have, and you've never prayed and surrendered your way, to Jesus' way, the real way. If you've never done that, this is your moment and this is your time. Or you've done it. One day, because of whatever, you decided to go your way again. The Bible describes that as a dog returning to its vomit, or a pig newly just washed, running right back and jumping right back in the mud. Come out of the mud. Come out of the, oh. Come out of just continually going back and back to the things of the world and run back to your Father's arms. He loves you. He'll receive you if you mean it. Man, God always is the God of the heart. He looks to see if you really mean it, or if it's just a game or just an emotion for a moment. But if today you choose heaven over hell, you choose blessing over cursing, you choose a life worth living and giving away in this life, in a life in heaven forever in the next, if that's your choice, if that's your decision, we want to pray with you right now. If you want to run home, we want to pray with you right now. Come on. So if either one of those are you, I'm going to ask you to do two things. Here's the first one. On the count of three, just to raise your hand up and say, it's me. The second one is this. We're going to pray right where you're seated, or right where you are online. Online, I'm going to ask you to send us a note. Send us a message on that message board. I'm praying for the first time or the next time. Here we go. One, two, three. Raise your hand up and say, it's me. I'm going to get right with God. Thank you, 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 thank you. Wow, all over the room. Thank you. I see all those hands. You can put those hands down. I see them all. God bless you. Wow. Someone missed it. Who missed it? If you missed it, here's your opportunity. Raise your hand now. Who missed it? Thank you. Who else? Thank you, thank you. Thank you. I know somebody missed it. Thank you. Thank you. God didn't miss you. He loves you. Let's all pray together. Come on. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe that you are God and God alone, that you sent Jesus to die for my sins. You raised him from the dead. You did all of that because you love me. I believe it. And because I believe it, I ask that you forgive me of all my sins against you. And I choose right now to forgive those who have hurt me as you forgive me right now. And I say to you, Jesus, I yield to you because I believe you are the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the I am, the way, the truth, and the life. I surrender to you and I receive the Holy Spirit. And I know by your Spirit and by your word, you'll teach me how to live with your thoughts and your ways on earth until I see you in heaven. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Come on, let's praise God this morning.
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like to find out more about Church on the Move, like our service times, or how you can connect with us, you can visit cotmroswell.com.